The grace and love of our Lord and Savior be with us always. Amen. The word of God we want to consider today is again our gospel reading for this past Sunday, the 18th Sunday after Pentecost. We're looking at Luke chapter 16, verses 1 to 13, where Luke was inspired to write, "Jesus told his disciples, 'There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer." The manager said to himself, "What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses." So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, "How much do you owe my master?" 800 gallons of olive oil," he replied. The manager told him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, "And how much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat," he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. "For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." My dear friends in Christ, in Jesus' parable, the manager was very resourceful and he was smart in trying to look out for his future. He did things that were underhanded, of course, but Jesus said, the master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. The rich man had been cheated, and I suppose he could have brought charges against him, although the manager was in charge of taking care of arrangements, business arrangements like that. Yet the rich man praised the manager, not because of his dishonesty, but because of his shrewdness, because he was looking out for himself and he put that into his priority in his life. Now, Jesus' application of this situation seems confusing, understandably. The people of this world, they're worldly-minded unbelievers. They are shrewd when it comes to their own business affairs. And ultimately, their concern would be about their earthly futures, and they act to provide for this future, and they put everything into that. And, well, what about God's children? Do we show the same concern for our eternal future that maybe the people of this world show for their earthly future? Do we make plans and do we act wisely so that our efforts are directed toward our heavenly home, our heavenly goal? Or do we act rather often negligent and neglect our efforts to be energetic in serving the Lord? Jesus said, "I tell you, we use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Well, the Apostle Paul had said, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Nevertheless, what we Christians can do is put earthly wealth to good use. We can use it, as Jesus says here, to gain friends, that is, to reach out with the gospel so that the Holy Spirit can work faith in people's hearts who will be able to be our friends for all eternity. That's how we can gain friends. When we use our time and our talents and our treasures to reach out with the gospel, then by God's grace, we're showing true wisdom. True wisdom because we're working for the most important cause that there is in this world, saving sinners like us from eternal punishment. Jesus said, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches?" Christ's followers consider worldly wealth as being far less important than the true riches of the gospel and of our salvation. But Jesus' point here is really simple. He wants us to show our values, that is, show that what we feel to be most important in this life. And he wants us to handle and use everything that he gives us, whether it's worldly wealth or spiritual wealth, remembering that he wants us to be faithful managers of the gifts he has given us. Use everything that we have, the spiritual blessings, the earthly blessings that we have, in ways that would please our God. Well, in conclusion, Jesus says, "No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." In our materialistic world, we really can't hear this warning too often. To unbelievers, money is an end in and of itself, to some unbelievers. And to acquire wealth is often considered life's chief purpose. In fact, money can become the god of many people. And we need to watch and pray to God to help us so that money or wealth doesn't control us, but that the Lord would continue to be the Lord of our lives. To us Christians, money isn't a god, but it is a blessing from God that God gives to us that we can use to serve him and the spread of his kingdom. May God help us so that our stewardship of our time and our talents and our treasure shows that we aren't selfishly living for ourselves, but we are living to serve our Savior, who selflessly gave his life for us so that we can live with him forever. In Hymn 454 in the Red Book, Christian Worship, our Savior gives us this encouragement. "I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee, come, give thyself to me. Oh, let thy life be spent, thy years for me be given, as I for thee was sent to bear thee home to heaven. I gave my life for thee, come, give thy life to me." Verses, they remind us that Christ gave his all for us, and we surely cannot repay him. We can't begin to repay him. But our stewardship, our use of our time and our talents and our treasures, it reveals our wisdom and our values, what we feel is important in this life, and it also reveals who our master is. As we live as God's believing children, may God help us with all of our lives to say thank you for the amazing grace and the love that he has given to us and keeps on giving to us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, help us always to look to your word to strengthen our faith and to reach out to more souls so that our goals in life and the goals of more and more people are to grow in our faith, to serve the Lord and the spread of his kingdom, and to be with him forever in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always.